Christian circles that "Do not fear" is written in the Bible 365 times, once for every day of the year. Now, that is a lovely sentiment, but unfortunately, no one can seem to prove it. It seems more likely that the number of verses is closer to 145, so maybe we're only supposed to give up fear 40% of the year? I don't know. But instead of looking at the numbers that way, maybe it's helpful to remember this. The encouragement to fear not is one of the most repeated phrases in the Bible. While 145 isn't 365, it's still a big number. Over and over again, from generation to generation, God has said to God's people, "Do not be afraid." Abraham heard those words, as did Moses and Joshua, David and Solomon and Elijah. During the 40-year journey of the Exodus, God repeatedly told the Israelites to let go of their fear. The phrase "do not fear" echoes throughout the Psalms and through the prophets. So when we meet Mary in today's scripture reading from the Gospel of Luke, we discover she is taking her place in this long line of biblical reassurance. Over and over again, from generation to generation, God has promised to meet God's people in the midst of their fear. So let's see if we can hear the echoes of this promise in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. Listen now for the word of God. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. Here ends the reading. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, and for the word of God within us, thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I had a friend in divinity school who would often make a joke when she faced life's big decisions. During those times when she had been praying and asking for God to give her clarity, for God to point her in the right direction, she would say, "I keep asking God to send me an index card with the right answer on it. I don't even need a whole letter of explanation or anything. Just a little index card with a few words would suffice. But I guess he hasn't gotten the memo, because I still haven't gotten my index card yet." Wouldn't it be so much easier if we could make decisions about the future knowing that God would tell us exactly what was going to happen? Wouldn't that index card system be pretty awesome sometimes? I'm sure all of us have had moments when we have prayed desperately for clarity, when we have asked faithfully for God to point us in the right direction. But somehow God hasn't gotten the memo, and we've been left wondering what to do. Which job should we take, or which college should we attend? Is the person we're currently dating the one we'll be with forever, or just the one we're supposed to be with for right now? Are the struggles we're facing in our marriage just a little bump in the road or a more permanent break in our relationship? Should we go forward with the surgery, knowing the risks, or keep living with the pain? Should we keep supporting a loved one who is struggling, or put some limits around the amount of care we can offer? There are so many times in our lives when it would be so much easier to move forward if God would just tell us exactly what we're supposed to do. I bet Mary felt something of that too. When we meet up with Mary in today's scripture reading, she's receiving a visit from the angel Gabriel. I can only imagine what a mix of emotions she must have been feeling in that moment. Awe, wonder, fear, confusion. Gabriel reveals Mary will become pregnant by the power of the Holy Spirit, and she will give birth to the Son of God. What an incredible honor. What a wondrous blessing. But that news was also a little worrisome, because Mary was engaged, but not yet married. So her growing belly would certainly draw attention and some questions. And how would she ever answer those questions? Who would ever believe that she was pregnant with the Son of God? And all of this was also complicated because Gabriel revealed all of this good news to Mary, but then she had to somehow figure out how to share this news with her family and with Joseph, and who knew how that was going to go over? If only God would tell her exactly what she should do, tell her exactly how everything was going to turn out. But that is not the promise of our faith. The promise isn't that we'll get to know exactly how everything is going to turn out in the end if only we pray fervently enough or believe deeply enough. What we discover over and over again throughout Scripture, from generation to generation, is that God doesn't promise to take our fear and uncertainty away from us. God promises to be with us in the midst of it. Just think back to some of the names of the ancestors of our faith who heard God say to them, "Do not be afraid." Abraham, Moses, Joshua, David, Solomon, Elijah, Mary. All of them faced times of great uncertainty on their journeys. There were times when they had much to fear. And when God said to them, "Do not be afraid," he didn't stop there. He would say, "Do not be afraid, for I am with you." God didn't promise to take away their uncertainty or their fear, but God did promise that they would never have to face their uncertainty or their fear alone. Author and pastor Leonard Sweet tells of an unusual tribal custom that he discovered. He learned about a tribe of Native Americans who had a unique practice for training their young men. On the night of a boy's 13th birthday, he would be placed in a dense forest to spend the entire night there alone. Up until that point, he would have never been away from his family or his tribe. But on that night, he would be blindfolded and taken miles away. When he took off the blindfold, he would discover he was in the middle of the dark woods all alone. You can just imagine, right? Every time a twig would snap, he might visualize a wild animal ready to pounce on him. Every time an animal howled, he could imagine a wolf coming for him in the wilderness. No doubt it was terrifying. But then after what seemed like an eternity, the first rays of sunlight would make their way to the forest, and looking around, the boy would see flowers and trees again, and the outline of the path that would lead him back home. And then he would also see the figure of a man standing just a few feet away, armed with a bow and arrow. It was his father. And he would have been there in the darkness with him all night long. Friends, that is the promise of our faith, that no matter how far from home we wander, no matter how deep into the darkness we go, no matter how much we have to fear, God is standing right with us. God doesn't promise that the cancer diagnosis will go away or that the grief will stop breaking our hearts. God doesn't promise that the struggle against addiction or the pain of betrayal will just disappear. God doesn't promise that the brokenness of the world or the messiness of our lives will just magically fade away. But what God does promise is that he will meet us in the midst of our fear. He will meet us in the midst of the pain. He will meet us in the midst of the struggle. And that is what gives us the courage to keep going. We don't move forward because we stop being afraid. We can move forward because we remember that we are never alone. So friends, as we come to the Lord's table today, let us bring our uncertainties and our fears with us, trusting that God will meet us here. Our fears do not make us unfaithful. They simply give us the opportunity to take our place beside Mary in a long line of biblical reassurance. Our fears give us the chance to hear God say, "Do not be afraid, for I am with you." That is the promise of our faith. A promise made so real when God was born into this world through Jesus Christ. Friends, the good news is that we are never alone. which means we have nothing to fear. Amen. Our communion hymn today is "Let All Mortal Flesh Keep Silence." If you're here in the sanctuary, you'll find it in your hymnals. And if you're worshiping from home, the words will drop into the comments.